Peace be upon you. God willing, we're going to spend our time just focusing on one verse. It's a very crucial verse. It's probably one of the themes of the entire Quran. It's chapter 2, verse 62. It starts, "We seek refuge in God from Satan the Rejected." It says, "Surely those who believe, those who are Jewish, the Christians, the converts, anyone who, one, believes in God, two, believes in the last day, and three, leads a righteous life, will receive the recompense from their Lord. They have nothing to fear, nor will they grieve." This is pretty much the cornerstone of what it takes to be into God's kingdom. And there's three simple requirements. And we see from the very first sentence that it doesn't matter what we call ourselves, if we're Jewish, Christians, Muslims, converts, Hindu, whatever. As long as we fulfill these three requirements, we're admitted into God's kingdom. So one of the concepts that you hear a lot from certain Muslims or Christians or Jews is that you have to be Christian to make it to heaven, or you have to be Jewish, or you have to be Muslim. This verse in the Quran clearly shows that it doesn't matter what we call ourselves. As long as we fulfill these three requirements, we are admitted into God's kingdom. So let's look at these three requirements. The first one, believe in God. What does that mean to believe in God? I mean, you talk to the average person, the vast majority of people, if you ask them if they believe in God, they say absolutely, they believe in God. But believing in God is basically knowing God's qualities, knowing who God is. To believe in God's existence in itself will not suffice. If you think about it, the devil knows God exists, right? But the devil basically doesn't believe in God's qualities, that one, he's running everything, that he is most gracious, most merciful, that he alone is the one and true God. So part of believing in God is knowing God's qualities and knowing who God is. The second point in this verse says that they believe in the last day. And the last day, as we've read previously and we discussed, is the day of judgment. It's basically when all our deeds, or good deeds and bad deeds, are weighed before us. And we have to believe that us and everyone else in this world is going to be held accountable for our actions in this life. And that's absolutely crucial. And you see that this is basically a determining factor for our salvation. And there's certain chapters and verses which tells us what it means to believe in the day of judgment. One of those is chapter 6, verse 112 through 115, where it reads, and again, this is the requirements that we know if we do believe in the hereafter, if we're just giving it lip service. So chapter 6, verse 112, we read, "We have permitted the enemies of every prophet, human and jinn devils, to inspire in each other fancy words in order to deceive. Had your Lord willed, they would not have done it. You shall disregard them and their fabrications. This is to let the minds of those who do not believe in the hereafter listen to such fabrications and accept them, and thus expose the real convictions." So we see that if someone basically looks for sources beside the Quran, besides God's scriptures, for guidance, for understanding, for basically the laws of this universe, it's showing that they don't believe in the hereafter. And if we continue reading in 6.1.14, it says, "Shall I seek other than God as a source of law when he has revealed to you this book fully detailed? Those who receive the scripture recognize that it has been revealed from your Lord truthfully. You shall not harbor any doubt. The word of your Lord is complete in truth and justice. Nothing shall abrogate his words. He is the hearer, the omniscient." Then it says, "If you obey the majority of people on earth, they will divert you from the path of God. They follow only conjecture, they only guess." So one of the criteria for believing in, to seeing if we believe in the last days, to see, do we accept the Quran wholeheartedly? Do we put any other sources, you know, for example, hadith, sunnah, or whatever, beside the Quran as a, you know, an additional source to this? And if we do, that's a sign that we actually don't believe in the hereafter. Another verse is chapter 17, verse 45 through 46, where it reads, "When you read the Quran, we place between you and those who do not believe in the hereafter an invisible barrier." So there's a barrier separated between those who understand the Quran and those who don't. And in verse 46, it says, "We place shields around their minds to prevent them from understanding it, and deafness in their ears. And when you preach your Lord using the Quran alone, they run away in aversion." So this is interesting. The first chapter 6, verse 112 through 114, we read that one of the criteria for believing the hereafter is that we accept the Quran wholeheartedly in its entirety, and we don't put any source behind beside it. And then in this verses, we read that those who do not believe in the hereafter, they can't understand the Quran. And when the messenger actually preaches using the Quran alone, they run away in aversion. And I'm sure if you went to some Muslims and you try to preach this message about believing the Quran alone to basically doing away with any hadith or sunnah, they'll get furious, they'll get hostile. And actually, this is a sign that they don't believe in the hereafter. And these verses confirm that. The last one is in chapter 39, verse 45, where we read about what it takes, how we can tell if we believe in the hereafter. So 39:45 says, "When God alone is mentioned, the hearts of those who do not believe in the hereafter shrink with aversion. But when others are mentioned beside him, they become satisfied." So if we're not satisfied with basically just mentioning God alone in our shahada, in our declaration of faith, and we have to put an entity of any source beside God, it's again a sign that we do not believe in the hereafter. So the three criteria for telling if we do believe in the hereafter is: one, we accept the Quran absolutely. We don't put any other source beside it. Two is we understand the Quran, and again, we don't put any source beside it. Those who do not understand the Quran, it's a sign that they don't believe in the hereafter. And the third one is that basically they only mention God and they're absolutely satisfied with that. They don't feel the urge to mention any entity beside God when, for instance, declaring the first commandment, the declaration of faith or shahada, that they're absolutely satisfied with la ilaha illallah, there is no other God beside God. So the last criteria to be into God's kingdom is lead a righteous life. And this one is probably, in my opinion, the most broad, because God gives us many, many attributes of the righteous. But in chapter 2:177, it spells out what God, it defines the word righteousness. It says, "Righteousness is not turning your faces towards the east or the west. Righteous are those who believe in God, the last day, the angels, the scripture, and the prophets. And they give the money cheerfully to the relatives, the orphans, the needy, the traveling alien, the beggars, and to free the slaves. And they observe the contact prayer salat and give the obligatory charity zakat. And they keep their word whenever they make a promise. And they steadfastly persevere in the face of persecution, hardship, and war. These are the truthful, these are the righteous." So there it spells out basically what it means to be righteous. And we can take another look at this. Righteousness is that they believe in the last day, the angels, the scriptures, all the messengers and prophets. They give their money cheerfully for charity to the relatives, the orphans, the needy, the traveling alien, the beggars, and to free the slaves. And they observe the contact prayer salat, and they give the obligatory charity zakat, which we know that basically the contact prayer salat occurs 5 times a day, and the obligatory charity is 2.5% of any money that enters your pocket. You give that away to one of these categories. And they keep their word whenever they make a promise. This is an absolute necessity to being a submitter, is keeping your word. It says they steadfastly persevere in the face of persecution, hardship, and war. These are the truthful, these are the righteous. So being steadfast, not wavering, being absolutely committed to God, these are all critical. And one verse I wanted to read in regards to keeping your word, which I find very profound, is in chapter 16, verses 91 and 92. It says, "You shall fulfill your covenant with God when you make such a covenant. You shall not violate the oaths after swearing by God to carry them out, for you have made God a guarantor for you. God knows everything you do. Do not be like the knitter who unravels her strong knitting into piles of flimsy yarn. This is your example. If you abuse the oaths to take advantage of one another, whether one group is larger than the other, God thus puts you to the test. He will surely show you on the day of resurrection everything you had disputed." So, hands down, we could continue on this topic. Again, it's, in my opinion, one of the more pivotal themes of the entire Quran. It's about what it takes to be in God's kingdom. But we're going to stop there. As always, highly recommend Read the Quran. Great translation by Dr. Ashad Khalifa is at QuranAlone.com. If you have any questions, comments, you want to reach us, you can reach us at QuranTalk@gmail.com. Peace and God bless.